Jesus, you have given us the most incredible ministry to heal broken hearts, to share the gospel, to be able to touch so many people's lives that we interact with on throughout the week, throughout the month. What a privilege, Lord God, that we can be so connected to your heartbeat, so one with you, Jesus, to really just bring glory to our Father as we minister, as we touch, as we just respond as your Holy Spirit leads us. Lord Jesus, at the end of the day, it's such a joy to come and say, Lord Jesus, together, anointed by the Holy Spirit, we glorify the Father. What a joy. What a privilege to be able to bring such glory to our Father. And we thank you for the privilege of sort of working together as one with you in this most amazing, great commission that you've commissioned us into. So we thank you that you're teaching us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were helping us to grow in intimacy, to grow in fruitfulness, to really begin to see far more evidence of the fact that we are truly disciples of you. And this we receive as you help us today, your grace upon us, Father, and empowering us in every area of our life so that we can live a life that truly just bears so much fruit that really brings you much glory. In the name and through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Romans 15 again? And just to go to the scripture that we have used this week in praying. So in Romans 15, verse 13, first of all, last, as I've mentioned before, we asking the Holy Spirit to give us prayer items to pray for the family of God in our nation. And the first part of that is what he's sharing with us here concerning a condition of hopelessness within the large portion of the body of Christ. And we are praying for God to really, by the Holy Spirit, to almost like revive the hope that's in us by the Holy Spirit, and for us to be people that really live in that, as we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we were born again into this living hope, and for us to be able to be the people that's got vision, that's got hope, because we have learned to have confidence in God himself, not in man, not in structures, not in promises, but in God himself. And it's only us as believers that can have this hope, because we know God. We've got a revelation. We're in a relationship with his children. So we in a nation are the people that can demonstrate living hope. The others cannot do that. They may have the human hope, but we've got the genuine hope that's God's hope that we have been born into, and for us to live that. And when it comes to praying, very often we will start to realize that, I've sort of lost my hope, because we start to identify. It's very hard to pray, God, give hope over there, where we ourselves may be in a place where we've lost our dreams, where we've been disappointed, God's disappointed us, or whatever it is there that has caused us here to sort of lose that hope. And we are focusing on these things around us, and we've lost our eye-to-eye, our heart-to-heart, our spirit-to-spirit relationship with God himself, the God of hope. And so as we go and we look at these prayer points that God gives us, as I said, very often it starts with us. And in that there, it's a powerful journey, because you're not alone. The body of Christ is connecting to hopelessness. They know what hopelessness is all about. And so we're praying together. And that increases a deep love for the body of Christ, because we identify with the condition of man, because we also identify with what the scripture is saying concerning hope and dry bones and so forth. So last Sunday, this was the prayer, may the God, and again, I want to just go to the original, because sometimes translations just use a word like the word may, and the word may could be maybe, you know, or, you know, it's like a whoosh kind of thing, but in the original, there's no word may. It says over there, the God of hope. Okay, straight, the God of hope. It's not a maybe, it's not hoping something's going to take place. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a work of God in doing this. So it's the work of God, and He says over here, the God of hope, so it's who He is, to fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So we would notice here that when we looked at Ezekiel 37 there, that God said, speak, prophesy to the dry bones so they can hear what I have to say, because faith comes from hearing. And this is why the Holy Spirit will share, because faith comes from hearing. And we notice over there that as we continue to walk in belief and faith, that's when we experience the heart full of joy, the heart full of peace. Okay, so you can see the condition over here. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, as we believe, as we have our confidence in Him, we experience how God fills us with all joy and peace. And that's, again, often the reality. If we find that we don't have this inner joy, this inner peace, we need to be real, and we say, maybe I'm not believing. Maybe I've lost faith in God. I'm not operating in that simple, pure, total trust in God, the faith that He has put into me. I've sort of neglected. I've sort of focused on all the other things around, and I'm not walking in that confidence in God anymore. So joy and peace is often that symptom. It's the evidence of us trusting Him. Because what is faith? Faith is what we hope for. So you can see there's a huge element in this reality of trusting in Him. And so as we trust in Him, God is filling us with hope, He's filling us with peace. And the purpose of that we may overflow. South Africa needs overflowing believers. Where we are in the workplace, where we are in the homes, where we are, wherever we are, we need to be the people full of hope, full of peace, full of joy, overflowing with this, because it's a tangibleness, so that people can experience the fruit of us abiding in Him. Okay, and so all of this is so crucial for the body of Christ in South Africa, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is, again, the work of the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we walk in our faith, as we walk in our trusting God, He's filling us, and it's the Spirit of God within us that's making this tangible. It's a reality. So it's not intellectual. This is real life. Eternal life is to know. It's to know the Father and the Son. Okay. And so we have, so this is what we're praying for. And throughout the week, you might have taken this scripture as you've been praying, and the Holy Spirit might have been highlighting many, many more scriptures that you can use to pray in this area. For instance, in Romans chapter 5, and often it's nice to, when you're reading in like Romans and you see Paul using the word like hope, it's nice to go back into Romans to see how he uses that word hope, so that you can get a better understanding of the context of his letters and what he's writing. So here in Romans chapter 5, we read here in verse 1, and this is very powerful, because we see something about a hope again, and the foundation, the real foundation of this hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so we've been declared not guilty because we simply believed in Jesus, and we have received His righteousness as a gift from God. That's the grace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And now notice verse 3. And we rejoice in the hope. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's profound. So here he's going to speak about suffering in the next verse. And he's saying to the guys, there's the suffering that we're going through, but we rejoice in the hope. Because in Romans chapter 8, we read over there that all things work out for the good for those who love Him. We read over there that nothing will separate us from the love of God. See, that's we can go through trials because we've got hope and confidence in the future outcome. And that's why we can rejoice as believers when things are all going around and things are happening around us. We can rejoice because God is God. It's who He is. We're beginning to know His character. We're knowing who He is. And we can really trust Him. And so He says over here, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not in the glory of man. Again, the focus is on God and who He is. And as He's revealed Himself to us, we're rejoicing in the great revelation that the Holy Spirit has given, that we see in Christ Jesus, His radiance, and we rejoice in the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know and hope are very connected. It's a confidence because we know that suffering produces perseverance. So my suffering, there's such hope because the outcome that is producing something so profound, perseverance. And I need perseverance, so I'm rejoicing in my suffering because perseverance produces character. The world needs to see the believers, the character of Christ in us. So we rejoice in all of these things. We're not moaning people. We're not hopeless. We are full of hope because we know the outcome. We've got confidence in God's incredible ability and He's working within us. And carry on, and we read over here, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Quite interesting. So we're starting to see something, and look at verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not shame us. Hope does not reject us. Hope does not break us down. So here we see something, that hope does not disappoint us because, and then he gives this most incredible reason why this hope of that God has placed in us, this God of hope, the hope that the Holy Spirit has put into us, does not disappoint us. Because we read over here, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So this is profound because we start to see that this foundation of knowing and growing in this hope, the foundation of rejoicing, the foundation of knowing the outcome is knowing how deeply God so loved the world, knowing this love of God. That is why Paul prays in that Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. Let's quickly just read that over there. In Ephesians chapter 3, where he prays that incredible prayer. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Again, you see the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Okay? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high, and deep the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. What did we read earlier on in Romans there? The God of hope, fill us. Can you see the connection of knowing what it is to be loved by God? And so if we do not have hope, the question we need to ask, do I really know that I'm loved by God? Do I know what God's love is all about? So that's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to give understanding and to enable the body of Christ to know how much they are loved by God, to know how to live in the love of God. And John, when we look at maybe this morning, I'm not too sure yet, but you'll see in John, when he speaks about this incredible abiding in the love of God, remaining in Him, and what it means to remain in Him, you will see how important the concept and the understanding of this love is all about. It's fascinating when Paul writes about love in Corinthians, and he says over here, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Oh, let's go, sorry, the wrong verse. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseverance. So you're starting to see something about this love that always hopes. This is the love of God, because we have this love inside of us. So we as people that know what it is to be loved, that are aware and we've renewed our minds and we know that we're loved by God, we will always find that this hope will always be a reality in our lives. We're praying for the body of Christ. I don't know if in the workplace, we all know Christians, how many are full of hope? You see, because they don't know what the love of God's all about. They don't know it. We were busy with someone yesterday morning and speaking about somebody that has got such an incredible communicator of the Word of God. And I cannot understand how can they communicate such beautiful truths, but they don't know the love of God. And so this is a crucial truth now that the Holy Spirit is saying, God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit so that we can continue knowing, we can rejoice in our suffering, we can rejoice in all these trials and tribulations because it's producing something within us. And knowing that nothing's going to separate us from this love of God, that's speaking about the now and the future. So we can look forward knowing that we can go into the tomorrow knowing that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. The love is a crucial foundation for us to have hope because we know that we are loved by Him. And that's the bottom line. We know that God so loved the world. And so the understanding and the revelation of love is crucial. So as we pray now for the God of hope, to fill us with His love, with hope by the Holy Spirit. Also, we need to know that we're also praying that God by His Holy Spirit will give us the power to grasp how high and deep and wide and long and the incredible love of Jesus Christ and to know this love so that we may surpass, so that we may grow into the fullness. So this is part of praying for the body of Christ. So when we looked at that Romans 15 last Sunday, and we began to just look at that particular verse. That's just an introduction that we can take into the week, and we can begin to say, God, let me do a research. Let me look at the word study. Let me begin to look at the scripture that speak about hope. And that gives you so much insight on how to pray for the body of Christ. So we are engaging, we are working with Jesus in praying for the body of Christ in South Africa. We're not just coming on a Sunday listening to something, but we're taking and we're busy participating with Him. See, that's what coming together is all about. So that we can connect with as one heart, one mind. Listen to what Paul says over here, Romans 15 and verse 5. Again, we remove the word may out. Most translations have the may. Some of the more literal will not have it in. The God who gives endurance and encouragement. This is from God. This is what He does for us. God who gives us endurance and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. So that with one heart and one mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible truth over here. As a body of Christ, what a prayer to pray concerning hope, because the scripture just before that speaks about,
Everything has been written in the past, has been written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Again, and then he says now, may God give you endurance and encouragement. It's very hard to have endurance and encouragement when there's no hope. Because the bones are dry. See, just like in the valley of the dry bones, Israel's in captivity. God, they've forgotten God's covenant with Abraham. They've forgotten God's covenant with the people. See, they're moaning. They've forgotten that God had spoken and he made terms and conditions of the covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you obey me, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey me, you're going to go into exile. You're going to be captured. They've forgotten all those things. And they focus on themselves and their misery. And then God says, but I've made covenant with Abraham. I've made covenant with Moses. I've made covenant with Adam and Eve. And I fulfill my word. Prophet, go and speak to them again. Go and speak to them in exile. Go and tell them the good news of what's going to take place. Share with them. Speak to them. Prophesy about their future so that once again they can begin to believe. So while in captivity, they can start to believe and have hope. And as we looked in Daniel, as they're in captivity, what's taking place? The wars are all taking place around the different nations, but there is the people of God that's growing stronger and stronger. People of God that's starting to rise up in hope. That's the mighty army that Ezekiel prophesied is busy rising up as they begin to believe what the prophets are saying to them. And there were many prophets that God sent to the people in exile to prophesy and tell them about their future, to give them hope. And we know Daniel, when he understood the time, he prayed, and then we start to see the breakthroughs taking place. So it's for us to know here that it's God who gives us endurance and encouragement. He gives us a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that not sound like Jesus' prayer in John 17, when he says, but Father, let us be one, so that they may know, the world may know that we, that you have sent me. See, can you imagine the body of Christ in Sasselburg? Just take a small, that's united in heart with Jesus, united in heart, united in mind, united in spirit, united in voice to glorify God. That has taken a truth, a simple truth like we're looking at today. United, God, you're the God of hope. Thank you. Give us that endurance now. We ask and we receive the endurance that you give to us. We receive the peace and we receive the joy that you give to us. One heart, one mind, so that we can glorify you throughout this week. One heart, one mind, united with a voice, connected together in the spirit, one oneness, so that the world, see, because this love that we're speaking about here is a selfless love. That's why when you start to look at in John chapter 15, when John is speaking about abiding, writing what Jesus spoke about abiding in him, all the time, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Remain in my Father's love as I remain in my Father's love. How do I remain in my Father's love? I'm united. I'm one with him. I listen to him. I obey him. I take hold of what he's saying and I work with it and I implement it. I walk in the fullness of what he is saying. Oneness, abiding in him, you bear much fruit. Be praying for the body of Christ. And that includes us. As we grow more and more in knowing how to bear more and more fruit. So there's a lot over there that God is busy sharing with us. Now, I'm not too sure if I should. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. John John is writing, and Jesus taught this. So John 15, Jesus spoke about these things. Now the Apostle John is busy writing, and sometimes it helps us to understand a little bit. So when Jesus speaks about abiding in him, John begins to describe that. And he says over here, dear friends, I'm not writing, or let us go back, verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Very important. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him. So here's the abiding principle that Jesus speaks about. This is what eternal life is all about, that Jesus speaks about. We know that we have come to him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. This is how we know that we are abiding in him. Jesus says, abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Abide in me, and let my word abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. And whatever you wish, whatever you desire, you can ask, and it will be done. Done as a manifestation. Done as something that actually happens. It will be done for you. And he carries on, abide in me. So Jesus, John now describes, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? It's not only this relationship, there's far more, because he writes over here, I know him, but the man who says I know him but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not him. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love is made truly complete in him, and this is how we know that we abide in him. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk as Jesus did. What a description of abiding in him, what Jesus is speaking about. So this is for us. Be honest, Lord, I need to grow in this area. I'm still more aware of my self-interests. And everything is still more about me. But this love of yours is selfless. See, this love of yours, I need to grow into that. And this love, the selfless love, is in us by the Holy Spirit. And that's the foundation, the selfless love of God. This is the foundation. God has poured this love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. This is the foundation for us to bear much fruit. Abiding in this incredible love, the selfless love of God, that we can bear much fruit. I'm challenged in this area. Example. Why do I preach? Why do I do what I do? You might be saying, why do you do what you do? It could be the gifts that we're operating in. But is it because God so loved the world? Is it because that God so loves us this morning that he's sharing with us the truth because he so loves us? Am I sharing this morning because I'm participating with God's love for us, for his love for the nation, and knowing that the body of Christ needs to grow in this for the benefit of a nation to be saved? See, what we do, if it's motivated with the selfless love of God, we bear much fruit. Otherwise, it's like Paul says, you can operate in the gifts and it's just nothing. Nothing happens. So that's again how we start to determine whether we as a family of God, whether we as a body in Sasselburg, are we fruitful or not. And we're not seeing too much fruit at this time. So we're honest with ourselves. This is why God loves us. He loves the people and He's sharing with us certain insights so that we can repent. We can change the way that we live. We can come and say, God, if my heart is broken, if I've lost all hope, let me stop looking at me and let me look at You who gives endurance, who gives peace, who gives hope, who gives life. And it focuses on Him now. And He loves it. He knows how to minister to us as we focus on Him. Behold Him and we are transformed more and more from glory to glory. Scripture hasn't changed. So as we go out this week, there will be people that you will meet. And you'll be able to now begin to, because you can start to share. Let's start to share these things. Let's start to pray together. Let's start to realize you've lost your hope because you don't believe anymore. You have more confidence in what everybody else is saying than what God says about you through His word. So it's now we're wanting to help the body of Christ to rise up and to once again live in hope. So that's why this we participate with the ministry of Jesus as we go out into this week. So, on the 12th of 13th, when you come together, you might say to yourself, hey, no. If we want to really be fruitful as a body of Christ, it's going to be a selfless life. It's going to be a life that is, yes, Lord, I want to grow. I want to walk in truth. We're going to touch the people's lives. We want to be fruitful because by being fruitful, it's fascinating what Jesus says in John 15. And He says over there that if you abide in, Jesus says, if you abide in Me, and part of that abiding, as we've seen over there, is I walk with Him, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, listening to Him in that intimacy with Him. If you abide in Me and My word abide in you, My word is light, My word is truth. You've taken the word in, the parable of the sower. Those who receive and take it in start to bear much fruit. 100, 60, 30-fold fruit. Because the word is abiding in them, they are abiding in the vine, they are abiding in Jesus, bearing much fruit. And then He says that if you, whatever you desire, powerful word that we'll look at maybe next week, whatever you desire, you ask for that, and it'll be done for you. And by this, that's the fascinating part, that by this, by what's being done, proves that you are My disciples. Powerful. Answered prayer proves that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. But the key is understanding that word, abiding that word, desire, whatever you desire. And looking at Jesus as a model, as an example of all of this. So guys, we've got a great journey to grow into, to mature into now. And that is why God has given us the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you ever tried to love in your own ability, a selfless love. No. That old Adam is dead. You can only love because we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus and He has put His love into us. So we're going to learn in our gifts to have the same love of Christ for the world. And that's a breakthrough for more fruit. Amen. Yeah. So Father, this morning, again, you've shared a lot and there's so much more, but we will hopefully look at that next Sunday, whatever you're wanting to communicate to us. But this morning we want to thank you that it's you that gives us encouragement. It's you that gives us joy. It's you that fills us with all joy and with peace. What a privilege it is. And so we by simple faith, receive what is really in us by the Holy Spirit, but we ask for the manifestation of this in our souls so that we may know this, we may experience this joy, this peace, we may be filled with the fullness of hope. And we're asking this not just so that we can have a wonderful life, but we realize we're living amongst so many people that have got no hope. We know so many children that have now matriculated and they say, but what now? Where do we go now? No hope. Father, we got a message of hope. We've been born into a living hope. And we want to ask that you will help us to correct our speeches, to correct the way we think as we help so many people. But we don't want to just be people that just say, oh, have hope in God. We want to be able to take someone alongside of us and together, because we have confidence of the future, that we can help the hopeless to be able to journey into hope and to know that, God, you have a future for all of us. So we ask, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, we will be so involved in the ministry of reconciliation and having this message of reconciliation. We ask, Holy Spirit, for your great anointing upon us to be able to communicate such good news to a world that's stuck in hopelessness and is trusting in the politicians and trusting in all kinds of things. And everything is being shaken except your kingdom, kingdom of hope. So we ask, Father, that you will bring an opportunity this week and for anyone here that wants to say, Lord, just the people that you're wanting to bring into my life so they can hear the message of hope, I say, yes, Lord, bring them in and I will respond as an anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, thank you for the boldness and the courage that you give to us to be able to speak. You give encouragement. You give boldness to us. And we receive that this morning to be able to fulfill the Great Commission, to live it out and to touch lives. Jesus, you are an example. And as we eat together again with you and with one another and the family of God all over, we want to celebrate your example as you've shown us how to live and the great joy that we can now live as you lived because of you dwelling within us and the new nature that you've given to us. So we want to ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that as we eat with you, won't you share with us, each one in a unique way, tell us your story by the Holy Spirit. Share with us your story. Share with us your heart for each and every one this morning. And I know all over the nations, people are sitting around having the communion service, month end, many, many churches on a month end. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, as you work and touch the lives, as you minister the love of Christ. And this we ask, Father, knowing that what we ask, what we desire, because this is in your heart, it shall be done. And we receive and we thank you for the lives being touched today as we just got into agreement with you in what you have purposed to do throughout this nation. And this we ask in and through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.